2. And Mitchell Henderson is back tonight. Let me do this real quick. Hi, Mitch. Welcome back. I've got something I want to do here real fast.
Okay, good. I'm here.
Headline, Senator Ron Johnson says he now believes the U.S. government may have played a role in the 9/11 catastrophe. Huh. In other words, Johnson is saying the United States government attacked the United States. That's what he's saying. Not a big surprise to any of us. You people understand. But that is interesting.
He thinks this happened where millions of us thought this happened years ago. We've been thinking decades.
It's the slow burn. They always do it. It takes them decades to catch up with what the intelligentsia among the society can see clearly as it can be. Yes. But they don't. They do it slowly. This is part of a slow disclosure project that they're doing. Big deal. After we learned of Operation Northwoods, whereby President Kennedy in 1962 or thereabouts told the CIA and DOD to F off when they brought a plan in to him to use military aircraft disguised as civilian aircraft and to shoot down civilian planes, U.S. and Cuban, to bomb Cuban targets, to fly planes into buildings in Cuba and Miami, to create a false flag so the U.S. could invade Cuba and kill Castro. Thank God Kennedy told them to go to hell. I think this refusal by Kennedy and the failed Bay of Pigs certainly was a key factor in his murder. Nonetheless, it's all a fake. It's all fakery. Bin Laden, a fake fraud, right? And the killing of him?
Yeah, he worked for us. Yeah.
He died long ago.
I'm not even sure he's really actually dead. Okay.
Might not be.
He may be living in the villa somewhere.
They got
rid of his body at sea so people wouldn't worship him. Oh, how convenient. Like, we're going to say we killed Bin Laden, but there's no possible way it can be proved. Yeah.
No.
No way it
that
can
was
be
a
proved.
Fake. No, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
He had a dialysis machine. Didn't he have a dialysis machine in the cave, allegedly? We were taking good care of him.
Yeah,
Anyhow, all right, look, we live amongst a government and its tendrils that have nothing about our interests that match our wishes and hopes. They hate us. They mock us, and we allow it. By our silence, we allow. Sickening. All right, well, the Pope is gone. Big deal. He was a fake anyhow. His job was to come in and destroy the Catholic Church, and he did a lot in 10, 12, 13 years, or however many long he was in there. He harmed the church, the church's spiritual bedrock. He wanted to finish up or push further this idea of making the church some nativistic thing where nature was God. It's all corrupt and worse. It's all corrupt and worse. That's all I can say.
I'm gonna talk a little bit about that tonight.
Good.
So what I wanted to do is talk about the Civil War in America. Okay, so let me be very clear that I'm not a prophet, and I cannot tell you with any certainty what will happen. I can only tell you what might happen. I'm using my training by the U.S. Army in intelligence and analysis, plus my education, bachelor's degrees in geography, history, political science, economics, and international relations, and prolific interest in and study of geopolitics, to do the meta-analysis of both government statements and the intent of the propaganda put out by news outlets to come to my conclusions. Mm-hmm. So this is a logical process. It's not any sort of divination or anything.
Gotcha.
What I was specifically trained in the military intelligence was to divine enemy intentions through looking at their psychological preparation of the battlefield. In other words, looking at their propaganda, looking at their statements, and to spot intelligence indicators of imminent attack. Okay? So this includes defining the opposing sides, understanding their strategy, their operational art, their tactics, and articulating precipitating events that could lead to an outbreak of war. Okay, this is what the intelligence report would say. So civil war in America. The two opposing sides are clearly Democrat and Republican. We can just call them that. The Democrats are collectivists, Marxists, and progressive. The Republicans are individualists, Zionists, and constitutionalists. Democrat economics is globalist and environmental fascism and green energy. Republican economics is nationalist, capitalist, and carbon energy. Democrat foreign policy is a unipolar world and pro-Palestinian. Republican foreign policy is a multipolar world, pro-Israeli. And religion, the religions that lend themselves to Marxist Democrats are atheists, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, and amillennial Christians. And the ones who lend themselves to the Republicans the most is everybody else, but specifically because Republicans are Zionists, Christian Zionists, okay? So let me explain what an amillennial Christian is. They believe that we are living in Christ's 1,000-year kingdom right now. The tribulation or Armageddon is in heaven, not on earth. The religions that believe this are Eastern Orthodox, Oriental Orthodox, Roman Catholic, Lutheran, Episcopalian, Methodist, Reformed, Presbyterian, English Baptist, as opposed to Southern Baptist, Church of Christ, Disciples of Christ, Amish, and Mennonite. These are the mainline churches that are also open and accepting of Marxism, feminism, and sodomy. Okay, the other is Christian Zionist, okay, which is not all the other churches, but is very specific. They believe that Christ is coming back to save Israel and the Jews. Southern Baptist, Pentecostal, Charismatic churches, non-denominational Bible churches, Plymouth Brethren, Calvary Church, Assemblies of God, Dallas Theological Seminary, Moody Bible Institute. Okay, these are not accepting of Marxism, feminism, or sodomy, but they are Zionists. They believe that Christ is coming back for the Jews in Israel, not for Christians. Why would he do that? Okay, if you do not belong to either side...
Who believes this, Mitch? I mean, give me the totality.
Christian Zionists.
We're just speaking about them. Right? Any other groups involved with that lunacy?
No, it's just the Christian Zionists. Right. These are people who believe in a concept called dispensationalism. And I've previously spoken about that. This is, 50 million. There's a lot of them. They run our government right now. They are the people in our government, and
like
including Paula White. Okay?
Yeah.
Paula White is a Christian Zionist, okay? So let me get on to what is the gay Marxist pedophile Democrat strategy of them? The Marxist Democrats are attacking the Republicans where they are weak, the judicial system. You see, when the pedophile Biden regime was in power, Biden snubbed the Supreme Court. The court ruled against Biden's student loan forgiveness program, which Biden openly ignored and Marxist Democrats vocally approved of of the Biden regime ignoring the Supreme Court. The court itself made no effort to attack the Biden regime for contempt of court. During the 4 years of the Biden regime, the Republican Supreme Court did nothing to protect our freedom of religion, our right to free speech, or our right to bear arms. The Democrats know that the judicial branch is the weak point to attack the Republicans. That is why the Marxist Democrats use lawfare to attack the freedom and security of the American people. The operational art of the Marxist Democrats is to fund lawsuits against anything the Republicans want to do. They even use taxpayers' money to attack the government. It is at the tactical level where a precipitating event is likely to occur. First, there is the case of Kilmar Abrego Garcia, a Salvadoran MS-13 drug and human trafficker who was deported back to his country. Federal District Court Judge James Boasberg demanded his return. The Republican Supreme Court has backed up the Marxist Judge Boasberg and against the peace and security of the American people. Uh-huh. Already, Democratic senators are championing his case, using taxpayer money to travel to El Salvador to see him. Now they have people protesting on behalf of Kilmer Abrego Garcia in the streets. How could this precipitate a civil war? There are two scenarios. Kilmer stays in El Salvador. In this case, the Fuhrer will soon settle down. Two, Kilmer gets sent back to his home in Maryland. In this case, people will be frustrated at the weakness and moral cowardice of our Republican leaders and take some action. It is likely to be an individual action, like killing Kilmer. Killing Kilmer will spark mass protests by Marxist Democrats, including violence, assaults, and arson. It would be the 2020 George Floyd riots all over again. Another weak response by the Trump administration, like in 2020, would exasperate the situation. Okay? So people are getting fed up with the fact that our judicial system is rigged against the law-abiding citizens of the United States. So, I don't think there'll be any organized effort to take Kilmer out, but, you know, there's a lot of frustrated people out there, you know. And I think the best thing Kilmer can do is to stay in El Salvador for his own safety, okay, because he's really going to precipitate a lot of hatred up here, which will be on him, okay? So what is different in 2025 is that the Republicans know that the Marxist Democrats are an existential threat to them. If the Democrats get back into power, Republicans will be imprisoned, lose their jobs, their property, their parental rights, their guns, and their kids will be sent to gay grooming re-education camps. The Marxist Democrats will purge Republicans from society. They cannot get back in power again. They will attack us viciously. What they did under Biden was bad enough. Just think what they're going to do if they get back in power. They will never allow Republicans to ever have any power again, ever. So the Republicans need to think about this. Okay. Now, I don't like to get caught up in the specifics. This is just how something can start. Okay. How many wars have started with assassinations? Many. Okay. So this could start a civil war. Okay. Yeah. Trump will have to be forceful and completely purge Marxist Democrats from the government. This will cause the Marxist Democrats to increase their violence, which could lead to Marxist Democrats being purged from society. Things will spiral into open civil war. Second is the Mahmoud Khalil case, where a Columbia University grad student is being kicked out of the United States for his anti-Semitism. Marxist Democrats are protesting in his favor also. However, this is a different case. This is not Marxist versus freedom, like in the Kilmer case. This is Marxism versus Zionism. And Zionism always gets a very strong support from the Zionist Republicans. These Zionist Republicans will not protect you, won't do anything for you, but they will do anything for Zionists. Okay? They will do anything for Israel. Yeah. They don't care about you, but they care about Israel.
Oh, yeah.
Most Republicans will just see it as another opportunity to kick some foreigners out, even if they are not Zionists. Third, the developing case of black teenager Carmelo Anthony murdering white teenager Austin Metcalf. It is a clear homicide, yet the press is passing it off as self-defense. The GoFundMe site for Carmelo's defense reached $444,000 in just a few days. This will develop into a hot-button issue that will divide people. It is a good versus evil issue as well as a racial issue. Let's add to that Maine refusing to ban its two transgendered athletes from girls' sports. The Marxist Democrats have got to support LGBT because they are some of the Marxist's most strident supporters. Think of what's in common in all these cases. These are cases where the Democrats are taking an illegal alien, a black guy that killed a white, murdered a white kid, and a Muslim Palestinian. Okay, and they're creating hatred and discontent in our society. They're creating so much hatred. The Democrats want these people to be murdered so that they can go out in the street and have another George Floyd movement.
Yeah,
okay. The Democrats want to start the Civil War. Okay. The strategy and tactics of the Marxist Democrats point to the Second American Civil War being a struggle precipitated by these three issues: good versus evil, where Marxist Democrats fight for the rights of gangsters and criminals against the peace and security of the people; anti-Semitism, where the right to criticize Israel is abolished, simultaneous with crushing the judiciary over criminal aliens' rights to victimize citizens. The right of Zionists to victimize any opposition is piggybacked onto this cause. Okay, the Republicans will get a lot of support, and they want that support because what they're going to slide in as contraband goods is the protections of Israel and Jews, okay, against what they call anti-Semitism. So the third would be race, where special rights and no prosecution of people of color who commit crimes comes to a boil as DEI in the government is abolished. This creates a lot of people thinking that there's this revanchism, that we're going back to Jim Crow or something, when actually the abolishment of DEI is nothing but bringing back equality, racial equality. Okay. The right. Marxist Democrats will make sure that race is an issue in the Civil War because they want to divide the Republicans. They want the black Republicans to recoil and come to their side, okay? So the riots of 2025 will be different in that this time Zionism will not be on the side of the Marxist Democrats. Zionism is a stronger force than Marxism. Remember that Marxism and Zionism have the same source, Moses Hess, 1837. Marxism was for Gentiles and Zionism for the Jews. Marxism is a method, but Zionism is the goal. Zionism means in foreign policy that there is nothing wrong with Israel ethnically cleansing Arabs for Palestine and Muslims from Israel. Ukraine, there's nothing wrong with Ukraine from ethnically cleansing Russians from Ukraine and Orthodox Christians from Ukraine. There's nothing wrong with Moldova ethnically cleansing Russians from Moldova and Orthodox Christians from Moldova. And the United States ethnically cleansing non-citizens from the U.S. and Muslims from the U.S. Zionism means that it is okay for Israel to take the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, and the Golan Heights with impunity, for Russia to take Crimea, Luhansk, Donetsk, Zaporizhia, and Kherson, and for the United States to take Greenland, Canada, and the Canal Zone. Marxists are vehemently opposed to all these moves. This is the Civil War forming itself now. So these incidents, like if they killed Kilmar, if they killed this black kid Carmelo, okay, or they killed Khalil, you know, Mahmoud Khalil, this is the George Floyd moment that could spark an actual shooting civil war, okay. So, and trust me, the Democrat Marxists know this.
Yeah.
They don't care about these people. They're only using them.
Let's take a quick overview of the general African-American community, their mindset. Since George Floyd, they've been glued to their cell phones, probably far above the average of 5 hours a day for years. They have no idea what reality is. They live in an inner city that is not a forgiving place to be. I'm not blaming any of them. They just don't have anything that you can call nurturing for intellect in their lives. There's nothing there. They're walking around with their pants down to their knees, and they think that's cool. And the biggest shame of all is that how many whites talk like these inner city people, use their speech techniques, They listen to their mindless noise called music. I don't know. I just think whites are their own worst enemy when it comes to forgetting what they used to be, which was an intellectual class of achievers.
So you will notice that there are Christians on both sides. The Marxist side has most of the mainline Christian churches on its side. This includes the Roman Catholic Church, which is LGBT supportive, illegal alien supportive, and under Pope Francis was outspoken against Israel. Pope Francis died today, so we will see if the next pope is in the Marxist camp like Pope Francis, or will the new pope be a Zionist pope? That is to be seen. I suspect that most of the cardinals of the church are sexual deviants and Marxists. So oh, yeah. I think the new pope will be on the Marxist side of history. People are going to have to forgive me, but every time I see a priest somewhere, I think pedophile. Okay. It equates the same to
well,
me.
And with,
okay?
And with logic and good reason. They have a 2,000-year-old history of it. Nothing new.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't trust them around my kids ever.
No,
you know?
No.
So,
absolutely not.
On the Zionist side are Christian Zionists that believe that Christ is coming back to save the Jews and Israel, not the people who have faith in him, but those who hate and despise his very name. They will be the ones who turn you into the government for being anti-Semitic because you don't put Israel first. Okay? We're heading into a time of... We're heading into the tribulation. This is a time of nothing but trouble. We're going to go into a dictatorship. Okay, most of us are going to support that dictatorship because we can't stand the Marxists. They make themselves so unbearable that we're ready to ship them off to camps. Okay, that's how unbearable they have become. Okay, so we will be ready to let them go. We're not going to want to hear from them anymore. Okay, they're like an annoyance at best. They're contrary to nature. They're contrary to common sense. This is just the way that it's stacking up. So this also has its correlation in civil war in the world, or World War III. So the opposing sides, on one side is the Marxist unipolar world order, which is pro-Ukraine and Europe-centered. And then this other side is Zionist multipolar world order that is pro-Israel and America-centered. Marxist strategy is to defeat Russia, China, Iran, North Korea to assert Marxist-Sisi European leadership on the world. Right. To do this, they must drag the United States into World War III against Russia. We can see that they wanted to get Russia to do a 30-day no-attacking energy infrastructure. The Ukrainians attacked Russian infrastructure every day during that 30 days until it was up. It just expired a few days ago. Putin declared a Easter ceasefire, and the Ukrainians kept on fighting. But in both cases, they blamed the Russians for breaking the ceasefire. So Russia can see that any deal that they make with Ukraine and Europe and the United States, it will not be a fair deal. They will be accused of breaking it all the time. The war will continue on. Russia really has only one option, and that option is to go ahead and defeat Ukraine completely.
That's
really
where they're being
the only
pushed.
Thing they can do.
You're right. Yeah. There's no other outcome. And there are going to be a lot of people when that happens, and I think it probably will, who are going to say, Mr. Putin, why didn't you do this 3 years ago? Why waste all those lives, Ukrainian lives and Russian lives? Why wound a million people or however many have been wounded? We don't know. A million dead on the Ukrainian side. But
well,
I
think the answer to that question is that this wasn't just a war for Ukraine. This is a war for the world. Okay, and Russia knows that.
Fair statement. I think it's a very fair statement.
Yeah, it's a war for the world, not just for Ukraine. Ukraine is just one of the places in the war. Okay, but anyways, we can see that insanity of attacking Iran. Okay, you know what? Listen, if Israel attacks Iran on their own and does anything up to using a nuke, in other words, if Israel does a conventional attack on Iran, China and Russia will not get involved. Okay. But if they do a nuclear attack, they will get involved. Russia has said this. China has said this. Okay. The
second thing is, hold that thought. It's all very interesting because Ukraine is Jewish controlled, period. And the liquidation of Christian men has been obvious and blatant in the military there. Over a million dead. 14 million have fled the country. They'll never come back, most of them.
This
is by design. It's all by design. And you have another issue. Why is Zelensky still alive? Because a decision was made at the high levels, maybe the highest levels of international Zionism, and Putin was told, do not kill this man. Otherwise, he'd be dead 2 years ago or longer. He's not. He's protected.
Yes.
It's obvious. This is theatrics. Sickening. Go on.
Yes, it is. It's theater. What's also been made clear is that if the United States gets involved with Israel in attacking Iran, China and Russia will be involved in the war. They will involve themselves in the war if they do that, okay?
Right.
Trump is trying to actually smooth talk both China and Russia to get them to get sort of their assent that he can get involved in attacking Iran. Because Netanyahu is pushing Trump to bring America into the war, you know, to bring us into the war, to spend our treasure and spend our lives to fight for Israel, okay? And Christian Zionism is okay with this. They encourage a war with Iran, okay? Why would any Christian think that it's okay to go die for the people that hate Jesus Christ? Why would they do that? You know, why would they worship Israel when their own Bible, 1 John 2:22-23, states clearly, whoever does not acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ is Antichrist. Whoever does not have the Son does not have the Father either. This is very clear. This is the definition of Antichrist. Israel is that definition. They do not acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ, so God is not on their side. People, wake up, Christians. God is not on their side. They do not have the Son, so they do not have the Father either. Okay? It's just that simple. That six-pointed star that Israel flies up there and people put on their lapels, that's the mark of the beast. 6 points, six triangles, six inner angles, 666, right there in your face for you to see. And then people tattoo it on them, and they wear the little chains, or they wear the little American and Israel flag next to it. It's all this worship of the Antichrist is what it is, okay?
Yeah.
So the insanity of all this, okay? But listen, this insanity is very necessary, okay? Because they want World War III. They absolutely want this to happen. They're going to kind of slow walk us into it. We're going to be walking into a dictatorship here in America. At the same time, we're going to be walking into this World War III.
I want people to
sit back and look at a map. Sit back and look at a map and have a little bit of common sense. I mean, there's a map. There's maps everywhere. Everybody can look and see. If you look at Russia, to the west of Russia is a solid wall of NATO. We're talking Norway, Finland, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Poland, Slovakia, Hungary, Romania, okay? A solid wall. If you go east of Russia, what do you have? You've got Alaska. Then you got Korea and Japan. They're surrounded on the east and the west. If you leave any port on Russia's north coast and go straight north, you run into what? You run into NATO. Because to the north of NATO is Alaska, Canada, Greenland, Norway, Iceland. It's all NATO, okay? So that means that Russia, the only place they have free is their south front. Their south front is Ukraine. Their south front is Iran. Iran is important because if you go further south than Iran, what do you have? You still have a wall of America. You've got Israel, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Qatar, the UAE, Oman, Bahrain, and a little bit of Iraq. I mean, we got bases there still, and some bases in Syria. So we already kind of have them surrounded on the south, but not the close south. They've got a little breathing room. NATO's trying to cut off that breathing room by taking Ukraine and taking Iran. Russia will not allow this to happen, people. Russia will not allow this to happen. That is an existential threat to Russia. Russia has no choice but to resort to nuclear war if the United States gets involved in Iran or the United States sticks with Ukraine and they insist on Ukraine being having NATO troops there or being in NATO, blah, 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 okay? So they're not going to allow it. People here are just like, oh, we can't understand why Russia's starting so much trouble. No, people, Russia's not starting trouble. NATO is starting trouble. Israel is starting trouble. NATO wants war with Russia. Listen, you never hear Russia saying, oh, we want to have a regime change in America and break it into 50 different countries. They never say that. But you hear American leaders repeatedly, publicly state that they want regime change in Russia and they want to break it into 17 different countries. You hear European leaders say that. You hear American leaders say that. You hear Canadian leaders say that. So clearly, even articulated publicly, it is the United States and Europe that is picking a war on Russia, okay? It is Israel picking a war on Iran, okay? This is how it is. I encourage people to get a copy of my book called The Final Wars, How to Survive the Coming Civil War in America, World War III, and the Collapse of Civilization. It's available on Amazon. Very particularly, I'd like you to read Chapter 9 that will help you understand the truth about what is going on in the world and will help you see World War III coming, and you'll know why it is coming. You'll see that everything our government tells you, everything our media tells you, is a lie, a flat-out lie. Okay, so, I just encourage people to, learn for yourself, study for yourself. Don't listen to just what the American news says. You know, if you listen to the Russian news, they propagandize their people too, okay? Then you can kind of tell, if you review it for a while, you can see what they're trying to tell their people. But listen, it's important what they're trying to tell their people because that's their mindset. They're preparing their people for a war just like we are preparing our people for a war, okay? But there's many inconvenient things that our press and our government will not tell you about them. Like Trump knows that Zelensky doesn't want peace. Trump knows the European doesn't want peace. But he doesn't just come out and say that, publicly. He's just, it's like if he wants to keep his presidency, he's going to have to be stronger. He's going to have to be ruthless. Listen, in order to keep it together, he must be ruthless. He must snuff out the Democrats, the Democrat media, all of it. He's got to do it. That is why a dictatorship is coming, because if these Marxist Democrats get back in power, we are so screwed. There will be no freedom left in America at all, because the choice between the Democrat Marxists and the Republicans right now is the Democrats want to give you democracy. Well, democracy is not freedom, okay? What freedom is, think about Bukele in El Salvador. what he did, everybody calls him a dictator, but what did he do? He put all the bad people in jail. El Salvador had the highest murder rate in the world. Now it has the lowest. How did Bukele do it? He put every gang member, every criminal in jail for life. They're not allowed to go out there and victimize the people anymore. Our government wants these people out there victimizing you. The Marxist Democrats want them to be here victimizing you. They want you to live in constant fear. They want you to be robbed. They want you to be raped. They want your family members to be murdered by these people. They want for that. Don't ever listen to them tell you anything different, because truly, that is what they want, okay? And the only way that you're going to be free, what is freedom? Freedom is being free from getting mugged, being free from them coming and take your guns away from you, freedom from the abuse that the judicial system gives the average American. I want you to just think, what is this when they say due process of law? Let me tell you, if you're in communist China and you get arrested for something, guess what? You get due process of law in communist China. You get due process of law in North Korea. When they arrest you for treason in North Korea, you're arrested, you're given a trial, usually not without an attorney or anything, but still, there's a process that you go through before they open up on you with anti-aircraft guns, okay? But just listen to them and think for yourselves. Due process of law does not mean fairness and does not mean justice. It just means that you go through a process. Now, what a Marxist Democrat means by due process of law is they mean they want to have a way to protect criminals and illegal aliens.
Well,
and
they're doing it all over the place. Every Democrat state, that you got it, and look at California, getting worse and worse all the time.
Well, Colorado just passed a law that if you misgender or you dead name your child in Colorado, you are guilty of child abuse. They will put you in jail and take your child away from you for dead naming them or for misgendering.
Well, that's probably a felony.
These are speech crimes.
Yeah.
Huh?
It's probably a felony as well. So you lose your right to vote.
What they're doing is they're legislating against speech, you know?
Oh, yeah.
This
country can't go on. Mitch, you're right. Your country cannot tolerate this kind of dichotomy and split. It can't. It cannot tolerate it. And when you think about the simple fact that in the popular vote, in the election, the camel only lost by two million votes or something. It's tiny. It's 73 million for Trump, 71 for her, something like that. Very close.
Which is not true. That was a rigged election. That was very...
Well, yes,
understood. The Democrats that are in Congress, many of those got into their seats by cheating. They were not.
That's
they did
correct.
Not win
but
them by free and fair votes.
They're marketing it that way. It's part of their game plan.
Yeah.
A scam.
Oh, sure.
They're scamming everybody. Anyhow, this is really ugly. It's not going to get better. And I don't know where to tell people to go. I think it's wonderful that Oregon has 14 counties that have voted to get the hell out and join Idaho. I don't think that'll happen. I think they should have voted to become Eastern Oregon. Eastern Oregon. Very simple. New state. That's the way to do it, in my view. But what do I know? Anyway.
Well, listen, here's the thing, too. Let me tell you the reason I brought up the assassination of Kilmer or Khalil or Carmelo. The reason I bring that up is because if that happens, I'm not mentioning it to suggest anybody to do it, okay? I'm bringing that up because if you see that happen, watch out. This is an indicator that the shit is going to hit the fan. Okay, because the people who want these people dead are the Marxist Democrats. That's who wants them dead. They want some Republicans to kill them, but they they are using these people to spark a civil war. Also, just think back about this. Both people that tried to assassinate Trump had ties to Ukraine. They even tried to get weapons from Ukraine. And yet, Trump has to kiss Zelensky's butt. Excuse me, but do we have no sense at all? You see now that they keep saying, oh, well, Pete Hegseth needs to be fired as Department of Defense because he's using insecure communications. Okay, well, the Marxist Democrats are calling for him to be kicked out of his job, but nobody was harmed by anything Pete Hegseth did. But yet, when they wanted to put General Milley in jail for what happened in Afghanistan, where human lives were lost, including American human lives, oh, they were like, yeah, that's no big deal. So you see, they have not a double standard; they have a wicked double standard. Okay, and let me just tell the audience something that they may not be aware of, but I'll tell you, Pete Hegseth is aware of it, and that is, back in 1986, I went to the Army Communication Security course. And in that course, there's something I can say. They even encouraged me to say it. They told me to just tell it to everybody. And that is, it's a one-sentence, unclassified statement. There is no such thing as communication security. Okay? Now, what's top secret is how they showed us why there is no communication security. And I've seen why there is no communication security. I cannot report it. I cannot talk about it because they don't want you to know. They don't want you to know that there is. They want you to know in general that there is no communication security, but they don't want you to know why, because they don't want you to be able to. This is a matter of sources and methods, and that is a really true secret that you would never want to give away, okay? So in 2014, I talked to a guy that just graduated from Signals Intelligence School at Fort Huachuca, Arizona, and I asked him, just out of curiosity, I said, hey, can you explain to me, he was in a one-year-long course, and Signals Intelligence is gleaning intelligence from the enemy signals. I says, can you give me a one-sentence summation of what you learned in a year at Signals Intelligence School? And he thought for a second, and he says, yeah. There's no such thing as communication security. Okay, so what does Pete Hegseth know? He knows if you're a combat arms captain in the U.S. military, you should know that there is no such thing as communication security. That should be very clear to you. Okay, you should know that. Okay, I knew that as an armored cavalry captain. I knew that very well. Okay. As a matter of fact, every leader was given the same course that I was given. Not the communication security course, but it was a different course. It was on the enemy's radio electronic warfare, which is also a secret course. Okay, because it describes how the Russians can penetrate your communications. Okay.
So there are no secrets. Let's take it to the next logical step. There are no secrets, basically.
There are none. No. If they listen, this I can tell you. The only place where you can just speak. I'm not talking about using phones or radios. The only place you can speak and not be heard is in a skiff and in secure, compartmentalized intelligence facility with its own power source. It can't be hooked up to the grid. This has got no way that sound can get out of that room. That is the only place where you can say something that is not heard by that somebody else cannot hear. The only place.
Let me bring this up real quick. You just mentioned not plugged into the grid. One of the reasons is to be found in this statement. It is perfectly possible. In fact, it should be done. That all communications, telephone, television, Netflix, I don't care what it is, all of it can be carried right now on the grid. on the electric grid, on your electric wiring, on your power generators at nuclear power plants generating electricity. It can all be carried on the electric grid. Why isn't it? Because of all the different corporations and massive businesses that are predicated on cable boxes, satellites, you name it. And they all have their own thing. So they don't use the grid to bring the information. Electricity can carry everything. Anyway.
Listen, it can carry things in. It can carry things out.
You bet.
Like that.
You bet.
I mean, listen, anybody out there who knows about electricity, who knows about the way a speaker works, you can figure it out from there. Okay. I really shouldn't say any more, but just... You know, use common sense.
No, there's
how does
no,
a speaker
you,
work?
There's no privacy. Forget it. It's been gone for a long time. It's nothing new.
Sure.
So whatever you say, whatever you... And in fact, according to the Chinese story I have posted up there, you don't even have to speak it onto a cell phone or type it into a keyboard in an email. It doesn't matter. Your brain can be read like a book remotely by them right now. Because your brainwave signature is like your fingerprint. It's all unique to you. And they can get your brainwave fingerprint and dial you up and listen to what you're thinking, so to speak, anytime they want. You have nowhere to hide.
Yeah. Yep, there is no way to hide. There's no way to keep a secret. See, this is why Hegseth doesn't get all bent out of shape about it. Because he knows there is no communication security.
We like, how high do you rate him at this point?
Oh, he's indispensable. The U.S. military is lost without him. Okay, they're lost without him because he is the only guy who will stop this DEI. He's the only guy who will fire these people that need to be fired. He's the only guy who will do it. The difference between him and everybody else is where his loyalty lies, okay? His loyalty lies with the soldiers, okay? I can't reemphasize this enough. Leadership is about taking care of the people under you. That is what a leader does, okay? Pete Hegseth understands that he's got to take care of the private soldier. He was on their side.
That's why. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
If your men don't know you care about them, you got no men.
Right.
No, that's
right.
True.
You don't.
No,
yeah.
I agree.
So Pete Hegseth is the only guy who will do it. By the time that you've gone up and sold your soul to become a general and get that star or an admiral, you don't give a crap about the private or the airman. Or the seamen. You don't give a crap about them. You give a crap about your career and the politicians in Congress, because Senate, Congress is who gives you your job. You basically get promoted by approval of Senate. So you're sucking up to them. By the time you become a general, it's all about sucking up to them. Up to Colonel, promotion is really handled by the service. Okay, you don't. Even though, like for me, I was commissioned a lieutenant in the Army. That commission came from Congress, but Congress doesn't know who I am and doesn't care. This is something automatic they do. Where they care is when you count that you get that first star. That's where they care. You have to kiss their butt. You have to be a Marxist or a Zionist to get that star, okay? Your loyalty is no longer to the American people or to your soldiers once you get that star. You sell your soul. I used to talk to so many young colonels, relatively young, that could have gone on to four-star rank before they had 30 years in. But they wouldn't do it because, and they told me the same thing, they will not sell their soul to get that star. Because by the time you're a colonel, you've got your 20 years in. So it's kind of easy to just go ahead and retire. Quit while you're ahead. Quit while you still have your soul, and you still have some integrity, and you still have some self-respect. I guarantee you there's nobody with a star in the military that has integrity, that has, that has their soul. They're all rotten to the core. They all need to be fired. All of them do. Okay.
Go back to World War II. They'd say Montgomery was a dirtbag. Many of them were. Eisenhower was certainly a satanic evil, if there ever was one. Patton was the only one who... Now, he treated his men roughly, but his men knew that he cared about them. I think that's a fact. And anyway, he called it like it is. Yeah, he was a great man.
Yep.
He would have been president easily. So they had to kill him.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, all right. Well done. What a presentation. That's just terrific. You won't find this material anywhere else. It's just we have the best people here. Thank you, Mitchell. It was brilliant.
You're welcome.
All right, see you next week. Take care.
Everybody, keep your eyes open and watch what's going on. Pay attention.
Yeah, pay attention.
Get my book so you can get ready for what's coming. It's coming on.
Yeah. A Man Beyond His Mission, Amazon, Mitchell Henderson.
The Final Wars. The Final Wars is the one they need to get.
Okay. Do we like Man Beyond His Mission, too?
Well, the one that's critical for now is more the Final Wars is critical. Okay, right. Man Beyond His Mission, that was for 10 years ago. But for now, the Final Wars is really essential.
See the integrity of Mitchell Henderson? Any other author would have said, they're both great, they're both essential, but try to get the Final Wars. Look, he just told it straight. He's the other one was for 10 years ago. Doesn't mean it's less valuable. It's certainly as valuable as it was 10 years ago. But anyway, that's the kind of quality you're getting here, the best. Thank you, my friend. Talk to you soon. You be careful.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, good night. Mitchell Henderson, and we will be right back. Hold on.